I understand the flare of the initial moment and all the emotions and all that kind of stuff, but the Bible does say that a fool's wrath is presently known, that a fool doesn't control his anger. See, a fool's anger controls him, but a godly person controls their anger.
You say I belong to you, apart from the things I do. You say I belong to you, I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Book of Proverbs. We'll begin in chapter number 6, all right? We're talking about anger. The verse really we're going to focus on is verse 34 here. For jealousy is the rage of man. Jealousy, you just got to understand that. This is why you don't want to allow jealousy to rest in your bosom, your chest too long. Because jealousy is the rage of man. You talk about out of control anger, that's rage. Jealousy will drive you to that. Jealousy over things, people, if you let that rest too long in your heart, in your chest, it'll make you crazy mad. Now, in this particular case, he's talking about what can make a guy crazy mad. In verse number 29, so he that goes into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her. If you commit adultery with your neighbor's wife, listen, you will not be innocent. There's no way you can sleep with somebody you're not married to and be innocent. Right. Now, specifically, when you sleep with your neighbor's wife, guys, and she's married, right? That is, the term wife does still refer to marriage, doesn't it? He says in verse 30, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry, but if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But we don't even get so mad about if there's really a truly hungry guy that comes in our house and steals some food because he's about to starve to death. You know, as bad as we don't necessarily like it, that doesn't set us off. Because there's a good reason behind, even though it's not right. At least he's, you know, even though it's a wrong action, at least we can understand in our minds, well, what would I do if my kids were about to starve to death? You know, and we can reason, we can make a little bit of sense out of that, even though stealing is wrong, right? But we can make a little sense out. So we don't even really flip out about that. But one thing that'll send a guy into a rage, and you can't give him any gift. If a thief steals, and he steals because his kids are about to starve to death, and if he's caught, he is supposed biblically to restore sevenfold what he stole, seven times the value. Even if he has to give up all of his house to repay the debt, he's supposed to pay back seven times the amount that he stole. But that doesn't even send a guy into a rage. But I'll tell you what does send a guy into a rage. Verse number 32. But whoso commits adultery with a woman, he lacketh understanding. He that doeth it, if you do that stuff, it destroys his own what? Soul. You destroy your own soul. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth what? Death. And a spiritual death. Now, sometimes it's associated with physical death, and it is because of the sin in the Garden of Eden. But sin has much more consequences than just physical death. It has eternal consequences. When you commit sin and you die without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it'll cost you. Verse number 32. Whoso commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding, and he that doeth it destroys his own soul. A wound and a dishonor shall he get. You cheat on your spouse with another man's wife, and you'll bear the wound and dishonor for the rest of your life. David, of all the good things we can say about David, a man after God's own heart, but the one thing that just gets all of us is that he had that day, and it's a dishonor. And God told him so. He said, you've brought great reproach upon the name of God because of what you've done, David. Because we're a reflection on our God. And We embarrass ourselves, and sometimes we embarrass our God. Verse 6, verse 34, for jealousy is the rage of man. A wound and dishonor shall he get, that's verse 33, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Who won't? The husband. Because jealousy is a rage of man. You want to talk about mad. You want to make somebody mad. You want to make a guy mad. Sleep with his wife. That's about the worst thing you could do to a guy. I'd rather have you spit in my face than sleep with my wife. I'd rather have you burn my house down and crash my car than sleep with my wife. And if you sleep with my wife, me and Jesus are going to have a serious conversation, several of them, because I tell you what I'd like to do in the flesh. And I kind of assume, but I think I can fairly say the same, that one of the worst things you could do to a woman, you can burn her house down, you can crash her car, you spit in her face, but if you sleep with her husband, you might get your eyes scratched out if she doesn't talk to Jesus. Because jealousy is the rage of man. And jealousy is not envy, there's a difference. Jealousy is that is yours. And when you get married, that is your spouse. And you have a right to reasonably believe and expect that they would be faithful to you. So envy is always wrong. But jealousy is not always wrong. Otherwise, if jealousy was always wrong, God would be wrong because his name is jealous. And he said, I'm a jealous God. Right. And God has a right to be possessive over his people. And he doesn't like his people going out after other gods. And he's jealous over his people. Paul even said to one of the churches, he said, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I planted that church. I won you, many of you guys, to Christ, man. I don't want to see you going out after other false gods and being drug off into wrong teachings. I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Jealousy is a rage of man. And he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, no matter how much money you pay him. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Got it? So there are some things that you just got to know. They set people off. And they have the tendency, and you just got to know that if somebody has cheated with your spouse, that one of the hardest things to ever, ever, ever get over, and it is a real work of God to accomplish it, is the knowledge and the memory that your spouse cheated on you. You know why that is? Because jealousy is the rage of man. And it sometimes doesn't matter how many times somebody says, I'm sorry. It don't change that you got to sleep with that memory the rest of your life. So we better think about this thing, and that's why God instituted marriage, and he didn't want people running around sleeping with everybody like a bunch of horses. This ain't the cattle barn. We're human beings. We serve Jesus Christ. And God sets down his instructions and rules, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments for reasons, because he knows the consequences that if you make these mistakes, what it will do to people. What it will do to your marriage, what it will do to your spouse, what it will do to your kids, and how it could even possibly affect your neighbors and your grandkids. Seeing in America that we just think it's no big deal to commit adultery. But we do that, we have that mentality because we lack understanding. That's where this whole thing started, wasn't it? Wait a minute. He that goeth into his neighbor's wife, where is that? He lacks understanding. Wasn't that in here somewhere? Where is it? Oh, verse 32. But whoso commits adultery with a woman, he lacks understanding. And the truth is that we're just pretty dumb in America because sin makes us dumb. And that's why we run around here like a bunch of cattle instead of like human beings that God instituted marriage for. Because we just don't understand. But that's the world we live in, and Jesus prayed for forgiveness when he was on the cross for the guys that crucified him because he said they know not what they. Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 16. Speaking in regards to getting mad. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 16. A fool's wrath is what? Now I know that there are things that make us mad, and there is a righteous anger in the world. And there are things that happen that we should be mad about. If your spouse cheats on you, that's something you should be angry about. The problem is that if we're not walking with God and if we're foolish people, we're going to handle situations all wrong. Right. Now, I understand the flare of the initial moment and all the emotions and all that kind of stuff, but the Bible does say that a fool's wrath is presently known, that a fool doesn't control his anger. See, a fool's anger controls him. but a godly person controls their anger. See, and this is where we cross over the line in discipline, even as Christian parents. See, because it's a fool's wrath that flies off the handle. And the Bible says the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God.
Right.
And a fool flies off the handle and abuses their children in a moment. And there's a lot of people that have abused their kids that a minute later, after what they did, they realize they made a huge mistake.
Right.
But when your kid's laying there all battered and bruised and laying in a pool of blood,
yeah,
it's a little too late now to reconsider. And a fool's wrath is presently known. And that's why fools, the Bible teaches us, if somebody that doesn't know how to control their anger, you got to keep delivering them over and over and over out of situations because they keep making the same dumb mistakes, because what drives them, that anger and that fit of anger and rage, causes them to keep mishandling situations and circumstances over and over and over again. You think I'm a liar? I don't know. You guys believe the Bible, don't you? Where is that? This is Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Why? Same thing, different day. A fool's wrath is presently known. He flies off the handle. She flies off the handle. Here we go again. Different situation, same result. Go get your brother out of trouble again. He went down there and he did it again. Here we go again. Another apology. Baby, I didn't mean to hit you. I loved you, baby, but you make me so mad. And it's not my fault that I hit you. It's your fault because you make me so mad. Some of you have heard that before, haven't you? Same thing. Different day. Well, we were in chapter 12, weren't we? Don't you just hate it when it gets so real? But yet we love it. Because I wish somebody would just tell me the truth. I'd rather have you tell me the truth and tell me straight, and then I'll work through all those details, than lie to me and think I'm okay when I'm really not. Chapter 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man... Well, we understand that, don't we? Okay, and it's not just about marriage and adultery. It's about lots of circumstances in life. I know that guy's a crook, and sometimes people need to know that information. And sometimes if there's a guy that's tried to reform and to turn around, sometimes it is okay to not bring that up again. So the wisdom is that sometimes the wisdom in a situation is that we cover shame. And the book of Proverbs, we got more we got to cover here. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7. Boy, this word of God is powerful, isn't it? It is so powerful. And you know the most powerful thing about the word of God is when it hits you in such a way that it becomes applicable in your own life. All right? So it's not just words on a page. It's truth to be applied in my life. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry deals how? Foolishly. And a man of wicked devices he's hated. He is hated. That is the truth. Chapter 14, verse number 29 says this. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit, he exalteth folly. You want to talk about exalting folly, about elevating, raising up with pride in this context, raising up folly. That's people who are quick to anger. Well, chapter 15, verse number 1, all right? Let's hit that one. Chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. What a great verse. We've talked about that over and over and over again. That you're going to deal with very angry people. Wrath means very, very angry. And the way to de-escalate a situation is not by yelling back. Even though most of us have done that from time to time. And how's it ever going to calm down when everybody in the situation keeps escalating the situation? Somebody has to have some soft words, because soft words turn away wrath. But he that is slow to anger, he's a person that appeases strife. Soft words turn away wrath. A soft answer turns away wrath. And sometimes just something as simple, not a, because I see some of you guys doing that to each other, right? You're like, ooh, that preaches messages about you, honey. I see you do that. Hey, sometimes all you got to do is this. Just that. That's all. You don't have to tell the whole church that your husband needed to hear that point, you know? Oh, she's helpful. That's why you married her. He's helpful. That's why you married him. God knew you needed somebody like that to help you not be so. Right? Isn't God good? Sometimes we don't find how good he is till we're married 15, 20, 30 years. But boy, when we come to the end of that, you're like, man, that is just what I needed right there. Yes, sir. Chapter 16, verse 32. Love it. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that rules his spirit, he's better than he that takes a city. Chapter 19, verse number 11. The discretion of man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So much good stuff in this Bible, isn't there? You know, and it's not just about maintaining your composure in the moment. It's about learning that it is okay from time to time to pass over a transgression. It is okay from time to time when somebody does you wrong, that it is okay to let it go. Now, I know that's not what your flesh wants to do, but you got to remember, when you got saved, your flesh didn't get saved. And your flesh is going to tell you to do a lot of things, and your pride is going to tell you to do a lot of things that you shouldn't do. And it is okay. It is okay that there are some things in life that you need to let them go. Now listen. Listen, don't leave me. And you need to leave them why? Because the only thing you're going to do by holding on to it and keep bringing it up is you're going to keep yourself stirred up. And you're going to lack peace in your heart. And it is a glory to a man to pass over a transgression. Every one of us have had people do us wrong. And every one of us have done people wrong. And it is a glory of man to pass over that stuff. I thought that guy 10 years ago, I thought that he did. I thought 15 years ago, that woman, I thought she, well, you know, does it really matter today? See, if you'd have let that thing go a long time ago, you wouldn't have to be so upset today. Because they did Jesus pretty dirty too, didn't they?
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693. Or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do. You say I belong to you.
apart from the things I do. You say I belong to you. I'm in awe. Why you do? Why you do? You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do. You say I belong to you.
Sound and the church will be called away. Well, I'm waiting for his appearing, for his dear face I'll see. I believe the Lord is coming back soon, and forever with him I'll be.
He's coming again.
He's coming in the clouds, and it could be any day.
He will descend.
He will descend from the sky, and then his bride will fly away.
Oh, he is called.
I'll hear him say,
so excited, and why we sing and shout.
Oh, my friend, now you must know the redeemed are gonna fly. You need to be counted in that number, so you enter the sweet by and by. He's coming again.
He's coming in the clouds, and it could be any day.
He will descend.
He will descend from the sky, and then his bride will fly away.
As good as my Lord.
Well, I know he is the King.
nobody but Jesus.
I know He is the King of Kings.
Ain't nobody but my Lord.
He is the Lord of all.
Ain't nobody but Jesus.
He is the Lord of great and small.
Ain't nobody but my Lord.
Ain't nobody
as good as my Jesus. There ain't nobody as good as my Lord. There ain't nobody as good as my Jesus. There ain't nobody as good as my Lord.
He is a help in time of need.
There ain't nobody but Jesus.
Yes, He supplies all of my needs.
Ain't nobody but my Lord.
I know He is the great I am.
Ain't nobody but Jesus.
Oh, when I can't, I know He can.
Ain't nobody but my Lord.
There ain't nobody
as good as my Jesus. There ain't nobody as good as my Lord.
Well, there ain't
nobody, no, as good as my Jesus. There ain't nobody as good as my Lord.
Yes, He is my everything.
Ain't nobody but Jesus.
He makes me shout, He makes me sing.
Ain't nobody but my Lord.
Well, He has saved me from my sin.
Ain't nobody but Jesus.
He still gives me peace within.
Ain't nobody but my Lord.
He is the resurrection, the truth, the life, the way. There is no one like Him, and I just have to say,
there ain't nobody as good as my Jesus. There ain't nobody as good as my Lord. There ain't nobody as good as my Jesus. There ain't nobody as good as my Lord.
Got his tomb back.
Suppose Joseph went to the tomb that day on resurrection morn, expecting our Lord's body laying inside and a stone in front of the door. But when he arrived, to his surprise, the stone had been rolled away. Two men standing there dressed in white, saying, "You can have your tomb back today."
Only for a week into Jesus, leave the tomb for only 3 days. Was he dead in that room? I wonder, did he know that the Lord would rise? Or was his resurrection a great big surprise? When Joseph took his body and laid it in the grave, did he know it would only be for 3 days? All we really know, as a matter of fact,
Joseph got his tomb back.
Jesus hid the tomb for only 3 days. Was he dead in that room? I wonder, did he know that the Lord would rise? Or was his resurrection a great big surprise?
When Joseph took his body and he left,